Maddie and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Yeah, this is our podcast for Monday, 23rd of May. New Prime Minister today.
Oh, thrill a minute.
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing golf, the idea is just to keep your patience and hold your nerve.
Yep.
A friend of mine failed on that.
We looked at that.
Big style.
Also, Dick Van Dyke, he's in this relationship. There's a big age gap. Wow, you won't believe what it is. Celebrity chef Colin Fastenage on the coast as well. Spoke with Cole.
Yeah, what's he here for? We'll find out.
That's right. And also, we chatted with the new member for Robertson, Dr. Gordon Reid. That is coming up on our podcast for Monday, 23rd of May.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
We will speak to Dr. Gordon Reid. He is the new member for Robinson after the weekend.
Robertson.
Yeah, I know. I just
not Robinson.
Yeah, I know. I just read it down here.
Listen, Crusoe.
Yeah, I know. I just anyway, it's Robertson. And
are you seriously pointing to a piece of paper that says Robinson in order to blame someone else for your?
Because I am. Because yeah. I am. Never take responsibility.
No,
Robert.
You wouldn't.
Deflect. Have you ever heard that? Oh. I should be in politics.
Yeah.
We'll speak with Gordon Reid. Well done to Emma McBride too. Emma, she took home the for the second time in a row. She's up at Dobell, so well done, Em. She's for the seat of Dobell with Labor. So, and the Prime Minister's going to be sworn in tomorrow, today. Then he's going to go away.
Sworn in. That'd be a sworn romantic in. Night, a day out, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
if you wanted to go on a date and you want to impress, we're going to see the Prem get sworn in.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'd love to do that. But then, ScoMo, what's going to happen there? I don't know. Okay. You better get that.
I'll get this. Hello, Triple M.
Good morning. It's the Reverend Father T.J. McArdle
from the Church of the Sacrificial Lamb
with gravy and three vegetables.
Thank you for joining in, Paddy and Rob Palmer.
Hello, Father.
Good morning.
Can I hear knocking in
the
background?
Yeah, I can hear knocking too.
Oh, yes, Robert. I'm calling you from the confessional box this morning.
Right.
Hold the line, please, Paddy and Rob.
Okay.
Scott. Just wait, please. Right. I'm live on Triple M across the Central Coast.
This is awkward.
ScoMo,
on. Oh, the Prime Minister.
You're not Prime Minister anymore.
Right.
So you just wait like everyone else has to, please.
Oh, he's still going.
Oh, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, will you just wait, you bulldozer? Oh, we'll finish hearing all of your sins soon, please.
So is ScoMo in the confessional box with you this morning?
Yes, it is a tradition that when a Prime Minister loses an election, they come straight to the Church of the Sacrificial Lamb with gravy and three vegetables and confess their sins.
I'll bet they
in confidence, of course. Until I write my book.
Yes, jokes.
Yeah, you know, they receive their penance and then be on their merry way.
He's still knocking.
Oh, just shut up and please wait, please, Scott.
ScoMo's either pretty impatient or he's got a few stories to tell, Father.
Well, he has been in politics since 2007.
Yeah.
I'll call you when we finish sometime next year.
Oh, you can't wait.
I wish I could say that's not my job, but I can't.
Okay. I'm still knocking.
ScoMo, are you using your hand or your elbow? Oh, I shouldn't have mentioned elbow. Sorry, Scott.
Goodbye, Father.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Well done to Emma McBride. Em has taken the seat of Dobell after the weekend's election. That's her second term. Mm-hmm. And also, ladies and gentlemen, we're not worthy. Our new member-elect for the seat of Robertson is Dr. Gordon Reid. He joins us this morning.
Hello, Dr. Reid.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, feeling good. Feeling good. Excited.
Yeah. A bit tired or what?
Nah, ready to crack on. We've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Ready to go.
Geez, you'd have gone through some sanitizer. Or is it all fist pumps? You'd be glad the fist pump's taken over the handshake these days.
Yeah, it's always good to have a good elbow bump. But no, look, it's been a fantastic campaign. We've worked very hard to achieve this result. And I just want to quickly thank my entire campaign staff and all the volunteers and all the community members that, you know, stepped up and helped out in the campaign. We wanted to start with a community-based, community-led campaign, and we achieved just that. So thank you to all of you.
And Dr. Gordon, around the Central Coast, the health system is in crisis. Is that going to be number one priority for you?
Absolutely. It's one of my top priorities, and I've been saying this throughout the campaign, and I'll continue to say it as a member of parliament. access to a GP, access to health services right across the Central Coast, but particularly in Robertson, particularly in our electorate, has become increasingly difficult over the past decade, and that's something that I'm looking to address.
And how are you going to address it? Like, it's, I mean, people can't see doctors at the moment. You try and you just cannot get in to see anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a few different ways that we're looking to address that. And one of the ways that we can do that is to make the entire Central Coast an area of need, the entire region. What that'll do, it'll open up the available pool of doctors to come to the region. And then also there's our urgent care centre that we're proposing. So what that looks like is, if you're too sick for the GP but not sick enough for the emergency department, normally you don't have anywhere to go. These clinics, Labor's piloting 50 across the country, two on the Central Coast and one in our electorate. It'll be bulk billed. It'll be for adults and children with extended operating hours, taking pressure off our GPs, taking pressure off our emergency departments, making it easier to see those type of doctors.
And Gordon, when did Lucy call you to concede defeat for the seat of Robertson?
And how'd that call go?
Look, she called me yesterday morning and was very gracious. And I do want to take a moment to thank Lucy for her service to not just Robertson but to the country. And yes, thank her formally.
So you hang up your stethoscope from now.
Look, I'll always be a doctor. So the stethoscope's there sitting on the desk. But look, what I say is, you know, you can continue to chip away at the coal face, and as a doctor, you can help one person at the bedside or even a family. But in this role, in this new role, you can help thousands of people, if not millions.
Can Rob show up to your electoral office and you'll have a look at his skin tags?
Maybe one day.
Paddy's already had. Paddy was looking for a reason to come down, but he had his frozen off. So that's his skin tag.
You're always welcome. You're always welcome.
And so now the PM's being sworn in this morning. So what's the next process for you, Gordon?
Yeah, look, he is, and it's all about getting ready to move into the office and getting staff ready and you know, hitting the ground running. We've got a long list of things to do, and we're really excited and we're really looking forward to it.
How long before someone young on the coast looking to buy a home can say get away with this 2% deposit? And if I don't want the government to own 40% of my home, can I take a 2% deposit on a place and not have the government own 40% of it if I want to go myself?
Yeah, look, well, first of all, we all have to be sworn in as members of parliament, and a Labor government has to come in. So look, we have that, all those things have to happen first, and that'll happen over the coming weeks.
So it's going to be a busy one. Congratulations on your success. Well done on taking the seat of Robertson, Gordon. And hopefully over the time, if there's anything that you want to get out there, any messages, give us a call back and we'll get you on the radio.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Maybe check Paddy over for monkeypox next time you're in the neighbourhood.
Have a good morning, fellas. He's
the one with lumpy skin, Dr. Gordon.
Oh,
thanks, Gordon.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Yeah, yesterday, big day on the golf course.
But it was pouring down rain.
I know. Four mates. After having a Saturday night at the Hunter Valley,
mm-hmm.
we were feeling a little bit, you know, bruised. We thought golf's going to fix this.
Yeah.
We went out in our cart, started raining.
Oh, you still went out in the cart in the wet?
Yeah, but you stay on the path.
Oh, right, okay.
So you could walk to your ball. It was about the fourth hole that the first downpour came, and I'm in a T-shirt and shorts.
It's a bit chilly yesterday.
Oh, the temperature dropped about 5 degrees. And then we thought, this is not looking good. And that big dark cloud comes. And then you see the sheet of rain coming towards you.
You know.
I mean, oh, this is going to get nasty.
There's no escaping this.
So anyway, and then all of a sudden, clubs started, you know, slipping out of your hand. And you couldn't hit the ball properly. Everyone's taking big chunks out of the ground just because it was so wet. And then we got to, this was about the 14th hole. And this is, I'm going to throw my mate in it here, Al. He's got up off the tee and he's gone and boom, shanked one straight into the vineyards. So, because it's on, you're playing around winery sort of stuff in the Hunter Valley. It's really picturesque, really nice. But anyway, so we went, and the rain is just teeming down. It's so wet. Not even funny. Anyway, so we walked about 4 metres to where he shanked it off and he's hit another one. boom, dribbles to the ladies' tee. But no, this stage, the three of us.
So that's two.
I'm watching out.
And he's only on the ladies' tee.
Two shots. And he's on the ladies' tee. We're laughing. And it's raining. It's getting heavier and heavier. You can't even see the green. It's that heavy. And then he's gone and hit another one. By this stage, he'd lost his patience a little bit. He's come out and he's going, righto, righto. He's off the tee after all, the ladies as it was. And he's hit the next one. Boom. Flops into the reeds about 5 metres to his left. And then he's just gone, oh, I'd thrown his club. He thought he'd throw his club over onto the fairway, but it slipped out of his hand and gone splash into the lake.
Did he retrieve it?
He's thrown his hands in the air, gone walking into the lake to get his club. Oh, we were just bent over. And so no one got struck by lightning, but we started doing Caddyshack quotes. Oh, now I'm having the round of my life.
See, golf is supposed to be relaxation, relaxating. I don't find anything relaxating about that.
I've never laughed so hard on a golf course, nor had three of my mates.
So did Al get his? Did he retrieve his club?
He did. He got his club back, and he saw the funny side. The water was so deep on the greens that you had to smack the ball to get it to go 4 metres.
We should look at that one day. Mates smashing their clubs doing golf. Oh, I get wild. Yeah. I get just so
once
wild.
Once he got his club, he said, that's the first time I've thrown a club in 10 years, boys.
Did you stay the whole night?
Yeah, we played
18. You didn't.
We did. We did the whole
soaking.
Course. Yep. I tell you,
it's
so funny. Guys, we were spreading the water off the green just in a track between the ball and the hole and then belting it to try and get the
ball to make it in. That is keen.
It was fun.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Ages ago, it was first time caller, long time listener.
Yeah.
And that's where we met the really good Sean. Because we've got Shane
Irish Sean from Empire Bay.
Oh, he's great. And he calls every now and again.
Yeah.
It's great. And that's
always nice to listen to an Irish accent from Empire Bay.
Oh, Fiddly Dee Potatoes. I watched Belfast on the weekend too. I bought it. And not a bad movie, if you want to have a look at that. About growing up. Movie titled Belfast. Yeah, it's about growing up in about 1969. They've got music.
Wow, that would have been a tough
era. Yeah, it was. It was with the Protestants v. the Catholics.
Yes.
It was not anything to do with the IRA and what happened with England and all that sort of stuff with the bombs. But it was really interesting. So it's called Belfast. Oh, Fiddly Dee Potatoes. We've got Lee from Gorrigan on the phone.
Hello, Lee.
How are you, Rob?
Yeah.
Going all right, thanks. What's new?
Not much. Just trying to park so I can talk to you.
Oh, now,
good on you, Lee.
First time caller, long time listener, Lee.
Yes, correct.
Okay, so how long have you been listening to Triple M for?
Well, I'm 50 now and I started listening to Triple M just before I was 13.
Wow.
How about you then? So you haven't been, how long have you been on the coast?
Only a few years. I'm from Parramatta originally.
Okay. You love the Eels?
No. I'm a South Sydney supporter.
Oh,
Lee.
Oh, gee, didn't go well yesterday, Lee, did you?
Oh, Lee.
Oh. No, you didn't.
You've got to stick by your roots, Lee. Stick by your roots.
But this is the first time you called a radio station and got on air.
Yes.
Oh, you got a natural voice for it. Well done. Thanks for getting in touch.
Thank you.
And, Lee, make sure, because everyone who calls will go into the draw, make sure, any stage, give us a call back, 1-3-5-3, okay?
We'll love to say hello to you.
Thank you very much.
Ollie, what work do you do?
I'm a stay-at-home mum.
Oh, cool. How many kids you got?
Two.
Right. What are their ages?
One's left home and the other one's 19.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, but you're never, ever going to not be a mum, are you? It gets harder, I think, the older they get. Everyone says, does it get easier when they get to their teenage years? No.
No, well, I'm chauffeur mum now, so, yeah.
They become obnoxious when they get to about 17, 18. Did you find that?
Do they?
Yes, they do. They do.
They probably get that from their father.
Not at all. Generally their mother, apparently. Hey, Lee, you're in the draw for the tickets, okay?
Thank you very much. Have a great day, guys.
Yeah, it is first time caller, long time listener. We've got Laura.
G'day, Laura, from your minor.
Hello. You're Laura from your minor. That's me. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad. First time caller, long time listener.
Oh, yes. I switched over to the car about 6 months ago. Got sick of all the other rubbish on the other stations, and I enjoy listening to you boys in the morning.
Oh, you're getting more rubbish here. Holy gee, we apologise. Apologise to Laura,
Rob. If only you could tell the truth occasionally, Paddy Gerard, we'd be okay. Laura.
No, it's good. You guys talk about the footy, and I have no idea. So when they talk about footy at work, I'm in the footy tipping comp, and so that I can pretend I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, good work. Good work. And how did you go in round 11 with your footy tips?
I don't know. I have to wait till I get back in the office to check how many I've lost because I'm not very good at it.
Oh
no, we'll see. That's the beauty of our station is you don't have to be good.
Yeah.
And so, Laura, what do you do?
I'm an account manager for a manufacturing company.
Right. Okay. And it's been busy for you guys?
It has. Yeah, it has. It's things sometimes get delayed with, you know, you've got international shipping issues and things like that. But no, we're pretty busy.
Oh, yeah, they'd be bashing down the door waiting for stuff that they can't get hold of.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's
so when everyone's all complaining about freight and stuff, just and things getting more expensive, it's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, and in every different field. Like I was talking to an electrician, Mel. G'day, Mel. On Saturday, he was telling me just a real a cable of electrical wire that does your home. He said this time last year was worth about $89. He said now they're about $190 as well. So the price has gone through the roof. Have you found that in your industry as well, Laura?
Oh, definitely. Everything goes up. We had one product recently went from $300 a kilo to $1,100 a kilo.
Good grief.
So that's an extreme, but
$300 a kilo, not just the price rise. That's a that wasn't what from, is that good?
It was from Colombia, was it?
No, it comes in on a shipping container, so you never know. Oh, no, none of that.
Stop it now. How long have you been in your minor, Laura?
About 12 years.
Oh, geez, you would have seen the prices go up there too, hey?
Oh, nuts. It's crazy. It's stupid.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. Stupid. Well, listen, Laura and Lee, okay, Rob, hang on, Paul, put both their names in.
Okay, they're both in.
First time caller, long time listener.
Oh, it's Laura.
Oh, Laura. Okay, Laura. Well done. You're going to Top Gun Maverick tomorrow at Event Cinemas at Tugra. Well done.
Oh, I cannot believe it. I'm so excited. I love Top Gun.
Well done. You're there, Laura. Thanks for that.
Bring the enthusiasm.
Fabulous.
And Lee from Gorrican.
You'll see me there.
Good. Lee from Gorrican. Girls, thanks for being a first-time caller, a long-time listener, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Has he left his election run too late because he's on the Central Coast today?
but the election was on the weekend.
Yeah, I know. But why is that? We find out now. Colin, good morning, mate.
G'day, Colin.
How are you, boys? I'm in the car driving to the Central Coast as we speak.
Now, campaigning today?
Yeah, to get you off the air.
Hey. You're one of many. Colin, you are bloody one of many.
Yeah, guys, keep it up. Anyway, let's go.
Now, you are an ambassador, so on the Central Coast, your first port of call will be the Aria at Tookley. What are you actually doing?
So, for the Perfect Plate Awards, so it's for the clubs in New South Wales. It's a great competition to get locals into clubs, vote for your favourite dish in the club, and then your club can win, and everyone who votes can win. So, it's just a great incentive to get people back in the club.
Yeah.
So, clubs New South Wales. It's a great, and the standard of food that we're seeing. So I'm doing it with my French mate, Manu. What's his name? Can't remember.
Menu.
We're going around. Menu. I think he's actually Portuguese. But anyway, well, we're going all around New South Wales and all the clubs, and it's really good.
And Cole, how many clubs on the Central Coast you're visiting today?
I think I'm doing six today.
That's a fair whack of grub. Are you going to have six full meals or do you just taste them?
I usually go a bit too hard at the start. You eat a full meal and then by the end you're done.
So you do it and then you score it and then you go to the next club. How's the scoring process work?
I'm impartial. We're just sort of shining a light on each club and giving them a bit of exposure. But so it's up to the patrons to decide the winner.
Yeah, righto. Now, every Ari reckons their chicken schnitty is the best in the country. So are you finding that the chicken schnitty's put down in front of you a lot or are you getting a bit of variation?
Oh, I think You do get a stinny, but I think the clubs have moved like light years ahead of just everyone loves a chicken stinny. I even do them in our pubs. But I mean, everyone's moved on light years ahead. We're getting lamb shoulder, we're getting beautiful fish dishes, chicken dishes. Like, it's not just the snitty now. You can get great quality as you'd get in a restaurant in a club, which is what's great about it.
Yeah, and
the prices match too. They're a lot better on the price tag, aren't they, than going to a fancy restaurant?
Yeah, so you can get your extra schooners in.
So you got the Ari, Pinkara, Central Coast, Leagues Club today, Gosford RSL, and another two. And Cole, what about with you for this year in TV land? Is there anything on the horizon?
Well, tomorrow I'm in the middle of filming Kitchen Nightmares. So that's where we go. Have you ever seen the Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmares? Well, we're doing a version of that, but it's a bit nicer.
Oh, right.
Because, Gordon goes in and tears restaurants a new one before trying to help them repair their reputation. That's what you guys are doing?
Yeah, sort of.
All right. Okay.
And then we've got MKR after that.
Yeah, with the new host.
Yeah, new hosts. There's a few of them.
Oh, mate, with it'll be Manu. Exciting. Yeah, with Manu.
And the lady.
Nigella.
Who can forget?
Yeah. So you're working on that too as well, Cole?
Yeah. So it's good. It's good to be busy again. We're 2 years off, so it's good to be back.
Yeah. All right, mate. Well, listen, say good day to all the team at the Tuclayari this morning and all the other clubs. So if you see Colin Fastenage, there's a few of the clubs, and he's walking in like, holy Jesus.
Holding his guts.
He's eaten from another five restaurants he has. Mate, and hope it goes well on the coast today, Colin.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes, the New South Wales Perfect Plate Award. And vote for your club and give them some support as well. Hey, mate.
I need it.
Yeah.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Patrick.
What do you got for us?
Well, how about this?
Yeah.
A couple can still be in a de facto relationship if they don't live together. According to a precedent-setting court ruling in Australia,
the landmark
ruling from the High Court of Australia means judges can deem a couple has involuntarily broken up if one person is self-serving enough to not make necessary allowances for their partner.
So they could live in Sydney, I could live here on the Central Coast.
And you're having an online relationship.
And then, and then when it comes to you go, we're going to separate. We're heading to the courts.
Yeah, now, I don't want to see you anymore. And they go, no, sorry, I'm hanging on.
No.
And then I want,
So what did he do? He ruled and said, judge.
Okay. The couple involved in the precedent-setting case were de facto for 12 years.
Mm.
Couples don't need to be living together to be seen as de facto in the court's eyes. The decision comes down to whether you're acting in your partner's best interest. It's kind of weird. The case, I should have read this earlier.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. But basically, it's Bunny
Boiler. That's scary.
It's got Bunny Boiler written all over it.
Well, I'd be telling you what, I'd be marrying this fella, Kylan, no matter whether a man or a woman, I'd be marrying Kylan Mbappe. Now, he celebrated with fans at Parc des Princes, then scored a hat-trick after signing a new three-year contract with Paris Saint-Germain and turning down the chance to join Real Madrid. Now, people are saying this is so wrong. So he signed a three-year deal. This is his deal. He got $300 million sign-on bonus, right? $300 million. Yep.
This is a bonus?
Yeah. As I said, that's why I'd be marrying this bloke. So he got $300 million.
You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Then he's on $100 million a year salary after tax. So he gets the $300 million sign on, then another $100 million a year salary after tax. He will help decide the coach, will have a say on the sporting director, and can approve signings and sales.
What?
And that's for Paris Saint-Germain. How much bloody money do they have?
One person.
Yep, one person.
And then you buy a country.
Yeah, basically. Is that too much money?
That is not fair.
Yeah, doesn't
matter. Share it around.
Yeah, exactly. But then again, as I said.
Why doesn't he just say, nah, you keep half of it and give everyone free tickets for the next 12 months?
Or 20 years. Too much money. But then again, look at Clive Palmer. He spent up to $100 million on political advertising since January. And the United Australia Party didn't even get one seat in the House.
And I thought you were stupid.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Hey, how about Dick Van Dyke, 96 years old.
Is Dick Van Dyke 96?
He's the one from Mary Poppins.
Oh, right.
You don't remember him? Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, I watched a movie on the weekend called Belfast. I paid for it, $6 or something. And they went to the movies. It was set in 1969, Belfast. And they went to the movies. And in the movie theater was that movie, Bloody Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Yeah.
You
can't remember it. No, oh, you can't. It was a flying great. Car.
They steal the kids and stuff. They're the place where all the kids get stolen. And
hey.
It's a dark movie, but it's a kids' film.
Oh, is it?
It's really good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what? Like, so Dick was in that.
If you're a child, you'd cry in it. But anyway, look, he celebrated his 10th wedding anniversary.
Good on you, Dick.
10th, which means he got married at age 86.
Good on you, Dick.
Two.
Yeah.
He got married to a 40-year-old.
At 86?
At 86.
46.
So she's 40, obviously thinking, how long is this going to last before I get all his money? Because how much is he worth? You know why they got married?
How much is Dick worth?
He's worth $60 million.
Jeez, I
reckon he's on $8.5 million a year. Still. Doing radio stuff.
Dick Van Dyke at 96.
Actor, director, singer, film producer and radio host. Few sources say his salary to be $8.5 million annually.
Oh, jeez. If he got 10% on his money, that gives him $6 million, but still then $2.6 million on that. Jeez.
But this poor lady's 50 now, going out with a 96-year-old.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's not all chess and conversation.
No, I tell you what, I bet she hopes that he leaves everything to her in the will. God. Would you honestly, go, honestly? No way.
She'd break him.
No.
He's so frail. Way. He looks so frail.
But they're going to the gym.
Well, he does. He reveals that he does
the gym.
Water aerobics, lifts weights, and walks on a treadmill.
Good on him. Right. See, there is hope. You might be later in life and going, oh, I'll never find someone. You will.
I can think of another activity. You could cover all those
yes.
exercises.
And
in
a lot
one
more
go.
Enjoyable, eh? Yeah.
Have a great time.
A lot more enjoyable.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Subscribe now, and you'll never miss an episode.